Mark chapter 6, verses 6 through 13. 6 through 13. Actually, second half of 6. Bible says, "Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two, gave them authority over evil spirits." These were his instructions. "Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them." They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed sick people with oil and healed them. Lord, we thank you that you are our healer, that you give us authority to shine the light of the kingdom of God in our homes, in our schools, in our workplace, in City Heights, in San Diego, Lord, that we can move about with the power of the kingdom of God. Lord, that our lives can be transformed, and through our obedience and through the work of the cross, that we can repent, that we can find fullness, and we can be transformed in every situation, that we can overcome and we can live to glorify you. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. We're in a series called Finding Faith. I hope you have faith. We are surrounded by people without faith. In the afternoons in our after school program, we have begun to reach out to the skate park over there. And I've talked about this skate park and the challenges. My son went over there, Miguel started going over there, and the response to free food is good. There's a crowd that is coming. And so this week, I began forming the Jesus table. And Dana and I go out there, and sometimes April and some kids and some other folks, and they set up the lunch that we serve to the grammar school kids that come in after school, and we set it up out there at the skate park, and we pass out nice cold lemonade, and we have liters of cold, ice-cold water, and those skaters come a-running. And they swamp us. And the first day I started off at the Jesus table, I brought out 1/2 gallon of ice cream. And every head snapped. "Whoa, you got ice cream?" I said, "Yeah, come on over to the Jesus table. You can have ice cream, but we will discuss Jesus." And the first day there was 12. And the second day there was 12. And the third day there was 5. And the fourth day there was 4. Because sometimes the crowd comes and they don't want Jesus as much as they want ice cream. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. On Thursday, there was 2 young ladies that came, and their names are not important. They were, I'll just say, Maria and Marty, because I don't want to use their real names in case they show up here one day. And one of the girls was broken up. She wouldn't even speak. It was like she was weeping and just was not able to speak. Her friend said, "Oh, she's having a really rough day. She's having a rough time." And so we began to talk about Jesus, and she wouldn't say anything. And we had our discussion, and Dana and I stay out there for 15 minutes or so. And so we talk about the Lord. I start talking about parables of the Lord, answer questions for the Lord. And that day I was getting ready to leave. And I thought to this one girl that was so broken up that, you know, I just don't want to leave her like this. And I came next to her and I said, "Can I pray for you?" You know, and I began to sit down and she said, "No. I don't believe that way." And I am telling you, I have asked many people to pray for them. And it is incredibly rare I mean, I'm a pastor. I've been pastoring for 20 years or more. I think I could count on both hands the number of times anybody has said, no, I don't want you to pray for me. And this girl said, no, I don't want any of that. I don't believe like that. We're in a series called Finding Faith. Faith is your key to the kingdom. Faith is your connection to the kingdom, and there are those who say no. Jesus is moving all over the area of Galilee. He was kicked out of the east edge of the Sea of Galilee in the area of the Gerasenes, where he had cast demons out of the demoniac. A legion of demons cast into a herd of pigs that rushed over a cliff and drowned. And the people from that area came out and said, no, we don't want any of this. Leave our area. We don't want what you have. There are some who will say no. Faith is your connection to the kingdom. Yes or no requires a commitment, in or out. Where are you at? For many, their faith is fuzzy. Not really a yes, not really a no. Fuzzy faith is like slippery faith. Your grip on the kingdom is not secure. Jesus came that you might get a connection with the kingdom of God. Last week, we talked about things that get in your way. We talked about rocks, and we talked about weeds. Rocks are the things that you bring into the kingdom from your past. Sometimes you got to dig them up and toss them away. Amen. Weeds are things that get in your way, distractions, and sometimes you got to chop them down. How'd you do this week? I hope your fingernails are dirty, that you were indeed busy. Because if we are going to maintain our connection to the kingdom, it will require effort on our side. Amen? Amen. Jesus comes and brings a focus on the kingdom, gives you something to grab onto. It's your faith that makes that connection. Today, the title of the message is The Function of Faith. We're going to go back to the end of chapter 5 and read through the beginning of chapter 6, and I hope that we will have something for you today. First thing I want to notice as we start off this today is that Jesus is indeed surrounded by need. We're going to take a look at mainly two situations that are in this area before Jesus heads to his hometown. Mark chapter 5, 21 through the first half of 24 says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that you will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. And we have a picture of a man who was pleading for his daughter. How many of you have children? When your child is sick, there is a feeling of helplessness. I've not had a child die, and if you have experienced that, my heart goes out to you. But my daughter, when she was born, looked dead, and I pleaded with the Lord. I said, Lord, I need you to take over here. I can understand what is going through Jairus' heart. He sees Jesus come by, Jesus bringing a connection to the kingdom. But so often as Jesus comes by, they're looking more for kindness than the kingdom. And I would imagine that Jairus, in his need, would approach many for the opportunity of healing. That you can get in crisis mode and you can reach out to anything that is available. Perhaps you have got to that point of crisis and need in your life. And Jairus happens to have faith for healing, and he happens to have an accurate target of that faith. He comes out of the crowd. Crowd is looking for anything that they can find. Prayers go up. Perhaps you've floated prayers up in the midst of crisis. I would imagine that there were many prayers that went up in Florida this past weekend due to Hurricane Matthew and Georgia and South Carolina and North Carolina, and I really don't know where the storm is at right now, but prayers go up. Oh, God, help us. Prayers will go up for the Chargers today. Oh, God, help our team. And there is a shotgun prayer that happens in the midst of need. Oh, help us. But it is not just faith to ask, but an accurate target of your faith that is required to grab on to the kingdom of God. Amen? And so Jairus, he makes the Bible. He has faith for healing, and he has the accurate target for healing. Because it is faith that will provide your connection to the kingdom. Amen? We have an entirely different situation with this woman. Jesus doesn't answer Jairus. He just starts going to his house. Jairus has wealth. Jairus has influence. He is the leader of the synagogue. Let's go, man. This guy's got cash. Disciples going, let's go, let's go, let's go. And here is this penniless woman gets in the way. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, Jesus. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. A woman with no other options. She had bleeding. We are talking feminine bleeding. She had some type of, most commentators would agree, uterine disease that was getting progressively worse. She got possibly progressively worse from the efforts of the doctors. I cannot imagine how feminine care would be rated 2,000 years ago. I can imagine the suffering that she might have gone through at the hands of these doctors. Spent all of her money looking for a cure. Her faith was spread all over the place. Anybody help me? I'll find the money. I need a healing. Her problem is more than just physical. There was a cultural component to her ailment. Leviticus, the Old Testament law, says that when a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she will be unclean as long as she has the discharge. What they're talking about, being unclean, if Angelo was unclean, and you touch Angelo, you're unclean. And you can't go to temple, you can't go to the synagogue, you've got to have to be ritually cleansed. You have to cleanse your clothes, cleanse yourself, and you have to go to the priest, and you have to sometimes make a little offering. You got to do all this stuff. Now, Angelo could be unclean because he touched a dead mule. His mule had died, and he pulled the mule out of the road, and so he is unclean because he touched something that was dead, and anybody who touches him is unclean. And so they would all have to go through all this ritual cleansing. But Angelo would be clean tomorrow, and he would be clean until he touched another dead mule. You following me? This woman would be unclean every day. How old's Yazzie?
17.
17. Who's got a 12-year-old child? Andon, how old's Andon? 12. Think of having a 12-year-old child, how long it takes. That's how long this woman would have been unclean. And every time somebody touched her, she would say, oh, I'm unclean. Ah! No, we don't know her name. Oh, Martha, come on! Get on the other side of the road, man! For 12 years, lepers were unclean. Lepers would walk down the street saying, unclean, unclean, and people throw rocks at them. They were ostracized. Why? Because it was such a hassle having to ritually cleanse yourself every time you touch somebody who was unclean. This woman came up behind Jesus because no one would let her touch them. She sneaked up on him. She has faith for healing. This is a focused faith, the ability to connect with the kingdom. She approaches Jesus, she is focused, and she finally finds the right target for her faith. And she comes up behind him and she says, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And as she touches him, she is immediately connected to the kingdom of God. Your faith will connect you with the kingdom. Amen? Amen? I want to tell you about the other girl at the skate park for a minute. Nice girl, chatty girl. Her friend, Dan, he saw her friend. She was broken up. This girl was light and bubbly and chatty and talky and So what do you want to know about Jesus, you know? What can I tell you about Jesus? And talk about a parable, and she goes, well, I really don't believe in Jesus. I said, oh, really? What do you believe in? And she says, well, I kind of believe in animals. Really? And trees. I said, oh, the Druids do that. She goes, You know, if you go out in the forest and you just sit there, kind of get a feel for the spiritual. Bible tells us that God's glory is displayed in his creation. And that's why getting over to that skate park is so exciting. Because here this girl is sitting down, becoming aware of the glory of God, but having no way to get there. Her faith is fuzzy. Her faith is not focused. Her faith is not directed to an accurate target. I'll tell you, I've been praying for both of these girls since Thursday. We went on Friday and they weren't there. But I'm still praying because there is an opportunity for her to find that focus. And there is an opportunity for both of these young ladies to find a connection to the kingdom with a faith in Christ. Amen? Amen. How is your faith? Talked about rocks last week and weeds last week. You know what they'll do? They'll get you fuzzy on your faith. Got to dig out them rocks. You got a problem on digging out the stones of your life and the issues that you bring into the kingdom. Come on Monday night. We got some rock pickers that'll come in here and help you guys out. Got some weeds that are distracting, man. We got some guys that'll clip those weeds right off and show you how to move in your life and find a focus on the kingdom and grab on tight and get a connection. Amen? All right, here we go. Point number two. Changed by faith. This woman is indeed changed by faith. That once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, he turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes? Who did this?" And they answered, "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, who touched him?" Man, there are people all over the place. Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, the unclean woman, knew. He came and kneeled at his feet. "It was me. I'm unclean. I touched you." And she told him everything. And he said to her, "Daughter, this is the only place in the entire Bible where Jesus calls anyone daughter." Amen. Right here. "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, freed from your suffering." And it is her faith that opens the way to the healing. Amen? It is her faith that provides a connection to the kingdom of God. And here is this woman who nobody would touch, who ends up touching the kingdom of God and being transformed in her situation. How's your faith? How's your connection to the kingdom today? How was your week last week? Do you have faith to be healed? Do you have faith to grab on to the kingdom? This woman did. See, there were all kinds of people that were touching Jesus. But only one got healed that day. And Jesus didn't do it. Now, Jesus is a healer. We'll find out in a moment that he does indeed heal Jairus' daughter. But he did not heal this woman. The power went out of him. He had the power of the kingdom of God within him. He gave power to his apostles to heal the sick. The apostle Paul had the power to heal the sick. There are those who receive the gift of healing from the Holy Spirit. And Jesus had the ability to heal the sick. But in this situation, it was not Jesus that healed her. The power came from Jesus, but it was her faith that released the healing power of the kingdom of God into her life. Amen. Finding faith. Faith for healing. Faith to grab onto the kingdom of God. Faith for a transformed life. Faith for change. Do you have it? "It was me." Woman was focused. She had a focused faith. She had an accurate faith. There was an accurate target. And that woman was connected to the kingdom of God. "Go in peace," he says. Shalom. Go in the fullness of the kingdom of God. Do you go in the fullness of the kingdom of God? Do you roll with the kingdom of God in your life? Do you have faith to grab on to the Lord Jesus Christ when you run into situations that are bigger than you and you can find the power of the kingdom in your life? Because that is what is available. That is what it will take to change our culture. Can I get a witness on that? Some of you experience that. You get into something bigger and say, "God, this is bigger than me. But I know it's not bigger than you." Amen? Amen. You can find that connection. Your faith provides a connection to the power of the kingdom of God that will transform every situation. Some people came from the house of Jairus. "Your daughter's dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow except Peter, James, John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion when the people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "While this commotion and wailing, the child is not dead but asleep." They laughed. And after he pulled them all out, I think there was some force there, folks. He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. And he took her by the hand and he said to her, "Talitha kaum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. And he gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Faith keeps hope alive. Don't be afraid. Just believe. There are situations in our lives that will cause hope to fade. Can I get a witness on that? Your daughter's dead. No more need with all this. You don't got to bow. You don't got to grovel anymore. It's done. Your hope is gone. Just move along. Jesus says, don't be afraid. You can grab onto the kingdom right here. You can find kingdom power. You can find a kingdom solution to your situation. He had left the other crowd behind. He just saw John. He gets to the house and he finds another crowd, a new crowd, a crying crowd, a wailing crowd, a professional crowd. They were paid mourners. Jairus had money. Jairus was looking for a healing, and the other folks that were there, the mother, whatever, they had the cash, and the mourners were already there. And everybody's doing their job. They brought the pros in that were familiar with death. Jesus said, "She's not dead. She's just sleeping," and they laughed. They were pros. They knew death. That was their job. They rolled around death. But Jesus rolled around life. Can I get a witness on that? See, Jesus was a pro at life. He says, "Get all these guys out of here." And he pulled them out. And he takes in Peter, James, and John, and the mother and the father. Jairus is there. And all these people have faith to connect to the kingdom. Jairus and the mother, faith because of need, and Peter, James, and John, faith because of their understanding of the kingdom. And they all grabbed on, and he says, "Talitha kaum," like, "Lazarus, come forth." Little 12-year-old girl. Imagine your child. Death doorstep. Hopping up because of a connection to the kingdom. Amen. Faith is our connection to the kingdom. Jesus brings the opportunity to grab on. Kaum, walk. Hope can die. Fuzzy faith gets challenged. But fuzzy faith can move to focused faith. Fuzzy faith is a slippery faith. Focused faith you can grab on. Got a teacher. Happened to be sitting in the second row. Told her, I said, "I'm going to talk about you today." This is on Wednesday nights. About a month ago, she had a rough class. Lisa came out of that class. Said Elijah came out of that class so worried about his teacher, she wouldn't come back. Rough class, rough crowd, rough kids, neighborhood kids. And Dana didn't want to go back in that class. Sick the next week, late the following week, struggling the next week. "Dana, what's up?" "I'm not that good. I'm not as good as Julie. I'm not as good as Lisa." "Got A." I said, "Dana, we can make you better. Jesus make you better. There is an opportunity to take that fuzzy faith, put some focus onto it, and grab on to the kingdom of God. Amen. You can be a light to kids who live in the darkness. You can be a light to those who live with challenge. She says, okay, I could do that. How's your week? How's your month? You got fuzz on your faith? You got a slippery grip on the kingdom of God? You got rocks in the way? Weeds messing everything up? We find faith. Sometimes we find faith that needs to be developed. Sometimes we find faith that is not as strong as it could be. And the response is to find some focus and grab onto the kingdom. Amen? Amen? We okay? Thank you, Tom. I will. All right. Some people move in the wrong direction. And I'll tell you what. Come Wednesday, about 7, you can float some prayers for Dana. Be blowing in the kingdom power. Amen? Jesus left there and went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. See, there are some people that are moving in the wrong direction. Can I get a witness on that? Kingdom truth challenges worldly belief. And Jesus is bringing the truths of the kingdom, and that is the stuff that will get the rocks moving in your life and start blowing the weeds over. And there's people who like the rocks and like the weeds. Can I get a witness on that part? See, if your faith is fuzzy, nothing's going to happen. The kingdom comes by and it'll just slip right off. But if you want to grab onto the kingdom of God, you've got to have a focused faith with an accurate target, and you can grab onto the kingdom of God and you can be transformed. They say, man, this is amazing stuff. And I want to let you know that the kingdom of God is amazing today. Amen? Amen? But the kingdom of God requires a response. And the response in Nazareth was, we don't think so. The response from those two girls at the skate park was, we don't think so. See, there are people who are familiar with saying no to the kingdom. The truth of the kingdom is offensive. The truth of the kingdom will come against everything that you have established in your life that is based on the world. Kingdom truth challenges worldly beliefs. Kingdom truth challenges worldly activities. World is fuzzy. World is slippery. You can do what you want. Do what you want to do. Popular songs, popular titles. Kingdom of God is different. Prophet Isaiah says, speaking for the Lord, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And many people, rather than connect with the kingdom of God, just say, no, I don't think so. I got other stuff going on. I got a very good set of beliefs that don't cause me to change. And if you don't want to change, you won't connect to the kingdom of God. Are you following me? Faith connects you to the kingdom. Last little part we have here. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there. Except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Doubt stands in the way of the kingdom. Lack of faith is a barrier to the miracles of God. Jesus, you know, there's not a lot of places where it says that Jesus can't do stuff. But in his hometown, it says he could not do many miracles there. Jesus is still a healer. He can still lay his hands on a few people. But that dynamic where people come running with a accurate faith, with a targeted faith and a focused faith, where they could come up and they could touch the hem of his garment and be transformed. None of that was there. And the connection to the kingdom was cut. There was no faith, so there was no connection. Fuzzy faith is a slippery faith. Jesus comes to present the kingdom of God, and some just say, I don't think so. Says, grab on. People in Nazareth say, nah, we don't want to change. We got weeds and we like them. We got rocks and we like them. And we see a picture of the situation around Jesus, and it's bad. Even with faith, it's a bad situation. Woman, 12 years, bad situation. Jairus, his daughter, dying, bad situation. In Nazareth, nobody even cares enough to change. And we look at our culture and I see a bad situation. Yesterday, two more police killed in Los Angeles. Did you see the pictures? Young police, one young police lady, I don't know, she maybe 31, 32 years old, looked like somebody's mom, responding to a domestic abuse situation, going there to try and help out a wife being beat down or kids being beat down, killed dead. Man, I see our politicians and I am disgusted. We have crime in our streets. We have corruption among our leadership. Jesus comes to provide a connection to the kingdom, and there are so many who just say, no. I got something else going on. I am so glad that many of you grab onto the kingdom with all you've got. How's your grip? You got a focused faith this morning? Dave, you want to come up? Your faith focused or fuzzy? Jesus comes by you and says, I am your connection to the kingdom. Are you grabbing on? Or do you have something else going on? This morning, Jesus comes near. He says, I'm a healer. I'm a transformer. I'll pull the weeds out of your life. I'll cut the weeds out of your life. But you got to bend a knee. You got to put a focus on me. And we'll provide you with a connection to the kingdom of God. You're here this morning, and your hands are a little slippery, maybe. Your faith is a little fuzzy. You don't have a focus on the kingdom of God. There's distractions all around. The pain of the past is too great to bend a knee. And this morning, the Lord says, come and grab onto me, and I'll connect you to the kingdom. That's you this morning, and you are looking for something more. Tired of fuzz, looking for focus. Say, I'm ready to change this morning, Lord. Ready to leave the world behind and put a focus on the kingdom. leave my old life and the distractions and the barriers behind and get on that narrow path headed towards the kingdom. Nobody looking around this morning, that's you. And you say, oh Lord, I feel so unclean. But Lord, I'm not going to come up behind you, try and steal a touch. Reach my hand up to heaven. Lord, would you grab me, a sinner, and make me new? Nobody looking around. But the Lord is speaking to your heart right now. He says, time to find focus in your life, child. Maybe he says to you, daughter, come with me. I'll show you all the way to the kingdom. Nobody looking around this morning, that's you. Is he speaking to your heart? And you slide your hand up and say, oh God, I don't want to be like this anymore. I've been so unclean for so long. Touch me, Lord, that I might be made whole. Touch me, Lord, that I might connect to the kingdom. Touch me, Lord, that I might have peace and wholeness in my life. That's you this morning. Lord, speak in your heart. I just have you, just as an acknowledgement to him, just slide your hand up and say, that's me this morning. That's me back here. Yes, yes. Say, that's me. Somebody else, say, that's me this morning. Touch me, Lord. I want to be made whole. Maybe you're